Chris, it's been quite a last 4 or 5 days for the Philadelphia Flyers organization, starting Thursday with the shocking news that A, both Jeff Carter and Mike Richards were traded within about an hour of each other. How shocked were you when the news broke and you found out both those players were dealt from your team?
A little bit. Obviously, they've been key components to the Flyers organization and team over their last 6 years and a couple of years, if you're looking at the draft. And, you know, in a salary cap era, I've been unfortunately part of similar situations where in a salary cap era, money needs to be moved around in order to pick up different pieces and solidify different holes. And probably with the emergence of Claude Giroux and especially in the playoffs of James Van Riemsdyk, maybe that, you know, allowed the team to be able to part with these guys and pick up some younger pieces, a few guys that have a little bit of a different dimension to their game, and allows them the opportunity to sign Brizgalov. But, they're obviously have been and will be very good players in national hockey.
And that's the big question, Chris, I think for a lot of people, is the Philadelphia Flyers finding that all-elusive, you know, bona fide franchise goaltender. And when you look at it objectively, do you guys feel, especially you personally, that the team is better off with Brizgalov under contract and the addition of Shen and Simmons and the departure of Richards and Carter?
Well, we won't know that for a while. I mean, you can sit here an armchair quarterback and speculate and do all the rest of that. But at the end of the day, talk's cheap. You got to go out and perform and prove it. With the acquisition of Jacob Voracek, as you said, Shen and Simmons, and a couple of the draft picks, hopefully we've restocked our forwards and added some enthusiasm and excitement and energy and some physical play and look at Briz as being that Vezina style goaltender that we've been looking for.
Well, you know him better than anyone from your days in Anaheim. What does he bring to the table that's going to really help the Flyers in the coming season?
Well, he's a very athletic goalie, and you look at what he did for the Phoenix organization. I mean, their team hasn't really changed much over the last 3 or 4 years. Yet, when he got into the fold, I think 2 of the 3 years they went to the playoffs and had a couple. Last year had Detroit on the brink of elimination, and this year, a tough playoff. But he kind of did wonders for their team, and obviously. Played extremely well and kind of took his game to a whole new level from when I played with him in Anaheim. With him knowing that he's going to be the number one guy and knowing that he's going to play 65, 70 games, I think it's just that mental toughness and mental acuity that you're going to be playing every night, and you just kind of get in a rhythm and a groove and start doing that.
You're joined by Flyers defenseman Chris Pronger on Brady and Lang in the Morning. And Chris, there were reports that yourself and Mike Richards didn't always get along personally. how much truth was there to that?
You know what? That just goes to Philadelphia media. And when you don't play well and when things aren't going well, somebody's got to look at something. And there's got to be, I don't know if I'm, because I'm not out in downtown Philly every night with those guys, I don't know what, I don't know where they get it or how they get it or why they do what they do. But Philadelphia media seem to love to create rifts within locker rooms when things aren't going well. And a lot of times that's not the case. It's a team trying to find its identity and trying to find how it needs to play to be successful. We also went through a couple coaches and a whole host of other issues, systems and all the rest of that stuff. So I kind of laugh it off. It's not, there was no rift at all, and I get along fine with Mike.
But he was the captain, but at the same time, you have more than proven yourself in the league, and you have the right to stand up in the dressing room and speak if you feel like it. Did that ever cause any problems?
No, I didn't really stand up and speak all that often, to be honest with you. I may pull a guy aside and talk to him, and whether it be give him a pat on the back and tell him he's doing a great job, or a guy who's struggling and try to pick him up, or give a guy a kick in the ass and say, you know what, you need to get going. We need you. That's not going to change whether I got a letter on my jersey or not. That's just the type of person I am. And I expect a lot of myself, and I expect a lot of my teammates, and as they should of themselves and me.
In the wake of the trade, has Peter Laviolette and Paul Holmgren gotten a hold of you, Chris, to talk about your role and if it might change at all, both on and off the ice within the team in the coming season?
No, not yet. I think obviously when the trades were made, it was right before the draft. A lot of preparations and whatnot needed to be done for the draft after those trades. with the acquisition of some of the picks that we got, and then, you know, now getting ready for July 1. So I haven't, I'm not too worried about it. I've got to worry about getting myself ready to get back on the ice and get healthy and you know, help play hockey the way I know can for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Well, Chris, you just mentioned your health. How I think a lot of listeners want to know, A, how healthy are you, and B, when are you going to be able to start getting your workouts ramped up for the season?
I've still got another 6 weeks of, I guess, light working out with respect to my back, and can't really, you know, ride the bike as hard as I would like, or, you know, do any type of running or plyometrics or whatever the new age stuff is that guys do now. I can't really do anything to that. You know, I'm still in the infancy stages of working out, if you want to call it that. I didn't do anything for 6 weeks, and now for this next 6 week period, I'm just kind of doing light bike rides and walking on the treadmill and trying to, as the doctor put it, allow the scar tissue to fully heal and cover up the surgically repaired area.
And not that you're not in great shape, but you never struck me as a guy who needed to work out like 12 weeks to get ready for training camp for the regular season. So even though it might be only a few weeks of hard working out, that usually seems to do you well.
Well, I hate to tell you, when you do nothing for 6 weeks, normally I'm at least doing something. And when you do nothing for 6 weeks and then you're doing a light working out for six more weeks, you lose more than you think you're going to lose. And I'm going to need probably more than a couple weeks of working out to get ready for training camp.
Well, you know, the problem is because we both have kids, you end up going to Dairy Queen because you can't say no, and then that really hurts.
Well, that's where the willpower kicks in, and I've had to push myself a few times to make sure that I was stepping away from the ice cream line.
You know, Chris, you've been around long enough in the NHL and around the league to know what a Stanley Cup would mean to Philadelphia. I mean, this past season, the playoffs didn't go as expected. The year before, you go to the Stanley Cup final. Is that what drives you to keep coming back to know, not just you personally, but what it would mean to the Flyers organization in the city of Philadelphia?
Well, I think all you got to do is look at every year when you watch the players hoist the cup and you see them on their visits with the cup, whether they take it home or they have a party at their house or whatever they do, take it to a hospital, whatever the different guys do with it, just the excitement and elation that that cup brings to everybody around it and what it means. And you see the guys that have struggled maybe throughout their career to try to get there. They finally get there and they're able to hoist the cup again. It's an unbelievable feeling that, you know, everybody should have the chance to feel, but sadly, they don't, and that's what drives you, is to push you to try to get that feeling again, because it's an unbelievable feeling.